Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading today from the 6th canto, chapter 14, texts 7 through 10. Chapter entitled King Chitraketu's Lamentation. So 7 through 9 have no purport, so I'll just read the translation for those and then we'll do the Sanskrit together for 10. Text 7. My dear Lord, Shukadeva Goswami, although Vritrasura was a sinful demon, he showed the prowess of a most exalted Kshatriya and satisfied Lord Indra in battle. How could such a demon be a great devotee of Lord Krishna? These contradictions have caused me great doubt, and they have made me eager to hear this from you. Sri Sukta Goswami said, after hearing Maharaj Pariksit's very intelligent question, Shukadeva Goswami, the most powerful sage, began answering his disciple with great affection. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, I shall speak to you the same history I have heard from the mouths of Vyasadeva, Narada, and Devala. Please listen with attention. Text 10. Asid Raja Sarvabhauma Shurasaneshu Vai Nirpa Chitraketur Iti Kyato Yasyasit Kamadun Mahi Asir Raja Sarvabhauma Shurasaneshu Vai Nirpa Chitraketur Iti Kyato Yasyasid Kamadun Mahi Asid Raja Sarvabhauma Shurasaneshu Vai Nirpa Chitraketur Iti Kyato Yasyasid Kamadun Mahi Asid Raja Sarvabhauma Shurasaneshu Vai Nirpa Chitraketur Iti Kyato Yasyasid Kamadun Mahi Siddhartha Sarvabhauma Shurasaneshu Vai Nirpa Matajis, please. Shurasaneshu Vai Nirpa Chitraketur Iti Kyato Yasyasit Kamadun Mahi Asit. There was. Raja. One king. Sarvapalma. An emperor of the entire surface of the globe. Shurasaneshu. In the country known as Surasena. Vai. Indeed. Ripa. O king. Chitraketu. Chitraketu. Iti. Thus. Kyata. Celebrated. Yasya. Of whom. Asit. Was. Kamaduk. Supplying all the necessities. Mahi. The earth. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O King Parikshit, in the province of Shurasena there was a king named Chitraketu who ruled the entire earth. During his reign, the earth produced all the necessities for life. Purport. Here, the most significant statement is that the earth completely produced all the necessities of life during the time of King Chitraketu, as stated in the Ishopanishad, Mantra 1. Ishavasyam idam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bunjita magrida kasya svidanam. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota. And one should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. Krishna, the Supreme Controller, has created the material world, which is completely perfect and free from scarcity. The Lord supplies the necessities of all living entities. These necessities come from the earth, and thus the earth is the source of supply. When there is a good ruler that produces... That source produces the necessities of life abundantly. However, when there is not such a good ruler, there will be scarcity. This is the significance of the word Kamaduk. Elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.10.4, it is said, Kaman vavarsha parajanyak sarva kamaduk mahi. During the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira, the clouds showered all the water that the people needed, and the earth produced all the necessities of men in profusion. We have experience in some seasons the rains produce abundance, and in other seasons there is scarcity. We have no control over the earth's productiveness, for it is naturally under the full control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By His order, the Lord can make the earth produce sufficiently or insufficiently. If a pious king rules the earth according to the Shastric injunctions, there will naturally be regular rainfall and sufficient produce to provide for all men. There will be no question of exploitation, for everyone will have enough. Black marketeering and other corrupt dealings will then automatically stop. Simply ruling the land cannot solve man's problems unless the leader has spiritual capabilities. He must be like Maharaj Yudhisthira, Parikshit Maharaj, or Ramchandra. Then all the inhabitants of the land will be extremely happy. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umili Tangyena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namang Vishnupadaya Krishnam Sai Purulay Srimate Paladananda Swamitone Namang Vishnupadaya Krishnam Sai Purulay Srimate Pativadanda Swamitone Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharni Nirvishesha Shuni Vadi Paschati Ate Chacharni. So this is a very important verse, and the purport Prabhupada points out some even more important points, specifically about the governance of people and how that influences our practical living experience. So it's mentioned here, Prabhupada says that simply by trying to manage the land will not guarantee the production of anything. It's important that the ruler not only have capabilities of materially ruling people, but also has the spiritual purity to rule people. Because unless the Kshatriyas engage in yajna, then the Supreme Personality of Godhead won't be satisfied. Prabhupada makes the point that only the Supreme Personality of Godhead has control over the productivity of this earth. And we saw that practically earlier in the Bhagavatam. For instance, in the fourth canto, you know, with Maharaj Prithu. He became extremely angry at the earth because the earth wasn't supplying the necessities of life. The earth was withholding all the grains. So at that time, when Maharaj Prithu came in power, all the people came to Maharaj Prithu and were complaining to him. In texts 10 and 11 in the 17th chapter of the fourth canto, his citizens were complaining, "Dear King, just as a tree with fire burning in the hollow of the trunk gradually dries up, we are drying up due to the fire of hunger in our stomachs. You are the protector of surrendered souls, and you have been appointed to give employment to us. Therefore, we have all come to you for protection. You are not only a king, but the incarnation of God as well. Indeed, you are the king of all kings. You can give us all kinds of occupational engagements, for you are the master of our livelihood. Therefore, O King of all kings, please arrange to satisfy our hunger by the proper distribution of food grains. Please take care of us, lest we soon die for want of food." So this is another aspect of proper governance, because that's kind of what this particular purport in translation is focusing on. It's focusing on how King Trichaketu was an ideal ruler. An ideal ruler according to the Varnashram system. So there's a lot of really important points within this Varnashram system that modern society should seriously take a look at. So one such aspect mentioned here from the fourth canto is that of occupation, that of employment. It's essential for the government to ensure, to make sure that the populace is employed. That's their duty. In the purport to that particular verse, Prabhupada mentions, it's indicated that although people were allowed to perform their duties, they were still unemployed. Although they were not lazy, they could not produce sufficient food to satisfy their hunger. When the people are perplexed in this way, they should approach the head of the government, and the president or king should take immediate action to mitigate the distress of the people. So this is one of the main functions of the government. It's to ensure that all the populace that it rules are properly employed, properly engaged. Which is something that modern governments don't necessarily understand. Another important point that Prabhupada makes in this particular purport is that of just who puts the Kshatriyas in power. Prabhupada says, it's the duty of the king to see that everyone in the social orders, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, are fully employed in the state. Just as it's the duty of the Brahmins to elect a proper king, it's the duty of the king to see that all the Varnas are fully engaged in their respective occupational duties. So this is another interesting point that's brought up, is that of exactly how those in power come into power. Currently, we can see that supposedly the United States follows a democracy, even though that isn't how this country was originally established. This country was established as a republic. It actually wasn't until the early 1900s with Woodrow Wilson, who kind of brought up the idea or promulgated the idea that the United States is actually a democracy. Interestingly, the founding fathers were actually very much against democracy. They wrote many papers deploring all the evils of democracy and how it leads to the corruption of society. So we can see here that Prabhupada's mentioning that it's the duty of the Brahmins to elect a proper king. Just like when King Vena was exploiting his power and he was terrorizing all the citizens and killing people needlessly. So it's the duty of the Brahmins to act. It's the duty of the Brahmins to ensure that there's proper leadership. So they performed a yajna and they killed the king. And then after they killed the king, then they turned the thighs of the king and produced, it was the thighs, right? Produced Maharaj Parikshit. I'm sorry, Prithu. Produced Maharaj Prithu. So this is the proper role of the Brahmins. It's not up, it shouldn't be up to the other varnas to determine who rules the populace. Even the founding fathers, they wrote in different notes and different essays saying, explaining their vision of how the United States was to be run and how the leaders were to be elected. They didn't envision the masses of populace electing government officials. Rather, they envisioned small groups of intelligent, educated people choosing who would run society and all the policies that they would make. Because they saw that the masses of the people were too unintelligent to be able to properly steer the course of government. So we can fast forward to modern days with this modern so-called idea of democracy, and we can see how it's actually plaguing society. The founding fathers of the United States wrote that with democracy, the majority rules. So if the majority is corrupt, then the rule will also be corrupt. And it's very easy to pander to the lowest common denominator. So we can practically see that that's actually what's happening right now. You have elected officials pandering to the lowest common denominator of whatever extreme that may be. And right now it's becoming extremely polarized. You have this so-called Tea Party movement, and they're demanding very extreme demands on how the government be run. And then you have, you know, these other people who are actually so liberal that they can't even figure out what they want to happen in the government. You know, characterized by this Occupy Wall Street movement. You know, they just know something's wrong, we're being exploited and oppressed, but we don't know how to do anything. You know, this is the typical and traditional fight between the so-called liberals and so-called conservatives. But in the process, everyone's struggling to get the most amount of votes, and everyone's becoming more and more hard-nosed on everything. Everything's becoming so polarized that it's just grinding the government to a halt. This is the antithesis of the rule of King Chitraketu. Everything was very harmonious with King Chitraketu's rule of the entire world. He was the emperor of the world. And in modern times, because of our so-called advancement, we can't even get anything figured out to even pass a stupid budget. You know, the government's about to end all its funding and then can't even cooperate with each other well enough to even pass some funding guidelines. It's just really ridiculous. So, and this is all caused by where the power is invested. The power is currently invested with the masses, with whatever the majority is. And because we have non-Brahminical people and not administrators, people less than Brahmins and Kshatriyas guiding and ruling the country, everyone, all the so-called rulers, are simply interested in their own job and their paycheck. In other words, they're Shudras. And we can see this practically manifesting because they dictate their public policy based upon the election years. It's a 2-year cycle. And so every 2 years they put off some things and then they vote on other things just to bolster their public image so they can get more votes. That's not proper governance of the nation. Proper governance of the nation should be done based upon what's just, what's correct, and what should be done, not based upon what will get me the most amount of votes in my particular precinct, my particular district, and just forget everyone else. I don't care if it brings the whole nation down, I just want to be in power. So that's modern government. It's very unfortunate. So a little bit later on, when after Maharaj Prithu had chased down the earth, because the earth planet had taken the shape of a cow, and then Prithu Maharaj was chasing this cow all over the universe, and finally Mother Earth submitted, and then she explained why she was withholding the grains. And this is from the 18th chapter of the 4th canto, texts 3 through 10. So she explains to Maharaj Prithu, to benefit all human society, not only in this life but in the next, the great seers and sages have prescribed various methods conducive to the prosperity of the people in general. One who follows the principles and instructions enjoined by the great sages of the past can utilize these instructions for practical purposes. Such a person can very easily enjoy life and pleasures. A foolish person who manufactures his own ways and means through mental speculation and does not recognize the authority of the sages who lay down unimpeachable directions is simply unsuccessful again and again in his attempts. My dear King, the seeds, roots, herbs, and grains which were created by Lord Brahma in the past are now being used by non-devotees who are devoid of all spiritual understanding. My dear King, not only are grains and herbs being used by non-devotees, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm not being properly maintained. Indeed, I am being neglected by kings who are not punishing these rascals who have turned into thieves by using grains for sense gratification. Consequently, I have hidden all these seeds which were meant for the performance of sacrifice. Due to being stocked away for a very long time, all the grain seeds within me have certainly deteriorated. Therefore, you should immediately arrange to take these seeds out by the standard process, which is recommended by the acharyas or shastras. So that standard process is the process of yajna. O great hero, protector of living entities, if you desire to relieve the living entities by supplying them sufficient grain, and if you desire to nourish them by taking milk from me, you should make arrangements to bring a calf suitable for this purpose and a pot in which the milk can be kept, as well as a milkman to do the work. Since I will be very much affectionate towards my calf, your desire to take milk from me will be fulfilled. So this is the proper process for how to rule the world in such a pious way as King Chitraketu did. by following the guidelines, following the instructions of the great saintly people, the great sages and seers, following the Vedas, living a pious life according to the injunctions of the Shastras. By doing these things, then we can experience all happiness and pleasures within this world. Not that that's what we're after, but the point is, we need to be in a peaceful, unperturbed state of mind in order to properly execute and function in Krishna consciousness. If we're constantly being distressed by all these different factors, what to speak of our own mind and our own body, it becomes very difficult to properly practice, properly execute spiritual life. So that's what the purpose of the king of the Kshatriyas is meant for. It's to ensure that the Brahmins, specifically the Brahmins, but society in general, to be allowed the opportunity to engage in spiritual practices. So the whole Varnashram system is actually designed for all the different Varnas to cooperate with each other, such that all the Varnas can elevate themselves. The idea isn't that, well, you're Shudras and you just work and you'll never make any advancement, you know, and then we're the Vaishyas and we'll just steal the money from everyone and enjoy. No, the whole idea is that everyone, through observing the proper rules and regulations, gradually make advancement. The Shudras need to curb their lusty desire for unrestricted sense gratification. The Vaishyas need to curb their greed. The Kshatriyas need to curb their thirst for power. And the Brahmins need to actually become devotees. Because unless a Brahmin becomes a Vaishnav, it simply leads to impersonalism. I was listening to a lecture by Prabhupada just the other day when I was addressing the deities. And he was mentioning about how if someone is just a Brahmin, then they can understand Brahman. They can actually achieve impersonal liberation. But until they actually become devotees, they actually won't understand the real meaning and purpose of life. They actually won't understand or attain the highest spiritual liberation. So in another portion of the Bhagavatam, it mentions also about kings and the responsibility that kings have. In the 10th canto, 89th chapter, text 23 through 24, this is the particular portion where the sons of the Brahman are being stolen by Mahavishnu. So what was happening, this one particular Brahman, he had a son. And shortly after the son was born, his son disappeared. And so he went and he complained to the king, directly to the king. And this was his complaint that he lodged before the king. This duplicitous, greedy enemy of Brahmins, this unqualified ruler, addicted to sense pleasure, has caused my son's death by some discrepancy in the execution of his duties. Citizens serving such a wicked king who take pleasure in violence and cannot control his senses are doomed to suffer poverty and constant misery. So, these are pretty serious allegations. You know, this Brahmin is directly accusing and criticizing King Ugrasen, who is a very pious king, ruling impeccably. Prabhupada makes the point in the purport that in the Vedic social system, the monarch is considered responsible for everything occurring in his kingdom, good or bad. Even in a democracy, a manager who takes charge of some group or project should accept personal responsibility for any failure rather than, as is so common today, trying to place the blame on his subordinates or superiors. So this is real responsibility. So this Brahmin understood the proper role and function of a king. And in the traditional Vedic system, any sort of disturbance in society was directly blamed upon the king. Untimely weather, not enough rain, too hot, too cold, natural disasters. Even if your children died before the parents did, that was also the king's fault. Everything was blamed on the king, whether good or bad. So consequently, being a ruler trying to be in charge, it carries with it a tremendous amount of responsibility. So that's why it's so important that the entire world become educated in Krishna consciousness. That's also probably one reason why Prabhupada spent the majority of the last few years on this planet emphasizing Varnashram Dharma. You know, not only does it make it, because let's face it, not everyone who's aspiring to be a devotee is on the highest platform of consciousness. The system of Varnashram Dharma is here to support us. It's like a prop to help support us and to help us gradually make advancement to the point to where we can just be peacefully engaged in Krishna consciousness. So not only within our own society could we benefit from Varnashram Dharma, but also more importantly, for the world as a whole. And we can see with so many natural disturbances we're having now, untimely weather, unseasonably hot, unseasonably cold, drought. One environmental scientist recently declared that the Midwest, specifically in Texas, would be experiencing a drought, severe drought, for the next 20 years or so. It's also explained that things like deserts are caused by impious activities. In fact, we even just read that due to the sinful reactions that Indra got, he distributed one portion of that sinful reaction to the earth. And that's what produced deserts. So deserts are very impious places. They're directly the result of impious activities. So it's very essential, it's very important that the world become Krishna conscious, that the world follow this very practical Vedic model of life. But in order for that to happen, we need to help share these particular teachings with the world. You know, it requires our cooperation also. That's why it's so important that we try to educate people in Krishna consciousness, try to help them come out of this very thick material conditioning, to come to understand the greater importances of life, rather than basing the sole yardstick for success based upon how much money you earn and how many things you have. Currently, that's why the whole world is practically reeling. It's just on the verge of collapse, financial collapse, because everyone thinks this is the success of life. This is the ideal paradigm and the supreme ultimate goal of existence, is how to generate the most amount of money and how to enjoy the most. Live beyond my means by using money that doesn't exist. Where instead we should focus on what's really important, keeping people engaged, keeping people employed, keeping food in their belly, keeping them sheltered, so they can live peacefully and engage properly in Krishna consciousness and focus on what really matters. So I think I'll end there if there's any comments or questions. Yes. Well, Prabhupada said that that we're currently within the golden age of Kali Yuga. It's supposed to last for 10,000 years after the advent of... Can you turn off the mic, please? Just turn it on if you need to use it. It's supposed to last for 10,000 years after the advent of Lord Chaitanya. And during this miniature golden age within Kali Yuga, there will be a tremendous increase. Prabhupada even went so far as to say that it was guaranteed by Lord Chaitanya there would be an increase in spiritual consciousness. But after this golden age, if any devotees are left at that time, it's explained that they'll be hunted down for sport and killed due to the influence of Kali Yuga. So, yes, this is Kali Yuga, and there's a, you know, later on in Kali Yuga, there definitely will not be the whole world being Krishna conscious. My memory may not be serving me correctly, but I seem to remember Prabhupada saying that there is a, that Lord Chaitanya guaranteed a certain percentage of the population would become Krishna conscious during this time, whether we help Lord Chaitanya or not. But Prabhupada did say that if we engage in this process, the whole world can become Krishna conscious, 100% Krishna conscious, by our endeavor to please Lord Chaitanya. So that is possible. But it requires our active participation. Yes.
A conversation with Srila Prabhupada just recently, and Prabhupada said that even 1%, even if 1% of the population becomes Krishna conscious, that will have a profound effect on changing the course of human society. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can understand that, yes, it's not, your comment is appropriate, it's not in Kali Yuga going to be possible for everyone to become Krishna conscious, but a certain section of mankind, the more intelligent people. And how will that happen? By what you were speaking about. It's our duty to share that with people. But if that happens, or when that happens, even 1%, Prabhupada said, the whole course of humanity will change.
Okay, thank you. Archita Prabhu?
I just heard him lecturing on 1-2-20 yesterday, and he said 5%. He's saying, if he said, if a certain percentage of the population, and he said, let's say 5%. But he was obviously including the leaders. And as we know, Bhagavad Gita is meant for the Rajarshis.
Yeah.
It's actually targeted towards the leaders. And Prabhupada said it in yesterday's lecture, that if the leaders take to this Krishna consciousness, then Yadyat Acharati Shreshtas, the common people, will follow. So yes, it's not necessarily... But in the meantime, since we are living in the demon-crazy time, you know, the so-called democracy, the best way to spread Krishna consciousness is actually at the grassroots level.
Yeah.
Because if the common people are educated into what, at least to know what is a good leader, then they will hopefully vote for a good leader instead of voting for these rascals that they keep voting for.
Yeah, like for instance, when Maharaj Parikshit was governing the world, he was very strictly upholding the Vedic ideals. But in modern times, if such a strict form of governance was imposed, it would be very difficult for the majority of the world to accept it, because it's such a strict and high standard. You know, to such a degree that if Maharaj Parikshit saw anyone violating any of the principles, they would be immediately killed. He just wouldn't tolerate any deviance in upholding the highest standard. But because of his strict enforcement of, you know, proper rule, the influence of Kali actually wasn't able to manifest until after he left his body. Which is very significant, because Kali Yuga actually began when Krishna left the planet. But by Maharaj Parikshit's proper governance, the influence of it didn't actually set in until much, much later. Vijay Prabhu?
Prabhupada said our movement will always be small because there's four regular principles.
Jai. One last comment by Satchi Anoy.
But Sukadeva Goswami told Kim Parikshi, what's that? Kale dosa nidera jana stihye kumahaduna mukta sangha parambrajet. Kirtanareva Krishnasya mukta sangha parambrajet. That in spite of all the faults and deficiencies of Kali Yuga, the Sankirtan Jagya, the chanting of the holy name, is the only solution. And just as you were commenting about Mother Earth, when he had that, when she had that confrontation with Kim Prithu, why she's not providing, and she started giving all her reasons why not, because she was withholding all everything from the unqualified citizens, or not performing the jagya. They were just misusing, mistreating her. So similarly, this is what happened nowadays, even probably worse, I don't know. But ultimately, that's what it comes down. And even in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that in the beginning of creation, the Lord of our creators, he created human beings and demigods, so they should work together and cooperate by what? By performing jagya, sankirtan. So that's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. So if we do that, like we're going in Harinam twice a week or three times a week, we distribute books, we preach, anything that we do for the pleasure of Krishna, then there's some, like a little umbrella in Kali Yuga.
Yeah, even speaking of, because by engaging in yagya, it brings rain. That reminds me, one time I was on the Warp Tour, and we were distributing just so many numbers of books. It's really incredible. So we were in Pennsylvania, and when we were distributing books there, there came this freak tornado. And it just started dumping just literally buckets and buckets of rain. The rain was coming down so heavy that this bounce back, the splash up from the rain hitting the ground, would come out to just above your knees. And it was getting everyone just soaked. And then after that, we were heading out to Idaho, driving across country to Idaho. And that storm followed us all the way across the country, directly over our van, just pouring rain and hail on us the entire trip for about 2 or 3 days. It was really rather incredible. Jai. Sri Krishna Sankirtan ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.